Now, I'm getting old. I've been sick, but I feel very much better. I'm 80 years old. When you get 80 years old, they'll call you old, and you'll be old. But now, I'm the founder of this school. Driving along a country road one time years ago, I kept saying there ought to be a certain type school in this country. Somewhere, somehow. Driving along, I was at the height of my evangelistic career. I didn't want a job. Next to Billy Sunday, I was preaching to the largest crowds any man had in America. And sometimes my crowds were as large as his. But he was a converted football, baseball man and had a very great appeal and was older than I am also. But I started out. Now, I've had a long career. I was licensed to preach when I was 13 years old. I held a revival and organized a church with 54 members when I was 13 years old. I've had a long career. I know something about this world. I know more about evangelism than any man living in the world today. More about it. I can see a defect in it because I've been there for years. I was president of the Association of Evangelists in Winona Lake, Indiana, when the evangelists were preaching to several million people a day, scattered over America. Billy Sunday, Chapman, Torrey, and all of them. One day I was driving along a road. I kept thinking things over. I kept thinking about the people I'd met that had gone off to school with a good, fervent spirit and came home as cold as ice. I thought about the folks I had. Listen, there's one place there's no danger of fanaticism. And that's an education institution where they make you study. You won't go nuts around here. No, you may go nuts trying to get out of studying, but not from work. There's no danger of fanaticism in this place. All you've got to do is to turn the cold water of mentality. It'll cool you off. We are suffering from a spiritual deadness today. We're not smart. Listen, a smart man analyzes a thing carefully. Yeah. I've seen things. I've been over the world. I borrowed the brain to run this school, the technical brain. But I dealt with folks all over America next to Billy Sunday, preached to the largest crowd that any man ever has in the history of America. I've seen things. I started when I was 13 years old. I'm 82 now. Count it up for yourself. I know what's going on. I founded this school. I knew what I couldn't do. So I borrowed the technical educational brain. I'd been to college. I went through some experience. I studied Greek. I studied Hebrew. I was a pretty classical-minded sort of a fella. But I'd been out holding meetings, and I saw what was going on. Now, the thing that's made this school is this chapel platform. You get this, too. You know, we used to have when I was a boy, we'd break yearlings. We'd break yearlings. And this yearling sometime would have one get down between the shafts. Couldn't get him up. Beat him, he wouldn't get. Pull him up by the head, you couldn't get him up. And I learned the trick. I'd get down there and crank him by twisting his tail. And I've seen him get up, and one of them ran away. I fell out of the wagon, and I never did catch him. Somebody else caught him, but I didn't. Listen, you have got to have a tail-twisting program. For God Almighty, or you'll go dead. Yes. Did you know the easiest place in the world to go dead spiritually is in an atmosphere of scholastic atmosphere of culture? I know. I went to an old classical school. Last year I was there, I had a revival. They asked me to take it. And I turned on the heat and filled the mourner's bench. And the school caught on fire. Now, the greatest danger you are facing here is not that you won't get anything in your head, because it won't take much to fill the heads of most of you. The greatest danger that this school ever faced, or you ever going to face, or I've ever faced in my life, the greatest danger is a spiritual enemy. Why, schools all over America, in my lifetime, I went to one of them. We have two revivals a year. I've seen that old cultured president of that school down on his knees with an arm around the boy saying, "Oh, God, deliver this poor boy." Had two revivals a year. Did you know education can be the most dangerous thing in the world for you? Why, did you know there are crimes you can't commit till you get an education? You have to learn to write if you ever go to the penitentiary for forgery. If they ever charge you with forgery and you can't write and can prove you can't write, you're clear. Because you have to be educated, able to write, to commit forgery. Yeah. You can be spiritually dead, the corpse. Election day, talking so wise. Like a preacher said, if you don't repent, as it were, and be converted in a measure, you might be lost to some extent. He thought he was a scholar. That old country preacher that I knew when I was a boy got his grammar mixed up, but he put pep even in this mixed up grammar. I want the spiritual pep kept in this school. I don't want the scholastic work to chill us. So the fire goes out of the heart. I think if I was up in heaven and have a way of looking over the battlements and seeing them everything got out so perfectly nice and exceedingly dead and so smart, I'm not good for common folks anymore. That kind of atmosphere ever got in this school, I think I'd say, Jesus, would you mind excusing me a little bit? I'd like to go back down to Greenville, South Carolina. We found a school down there. And that school did fine. Sent missionaries around the world and trained hundreds of preachers and Christian scholars. And we had high scholastic standards. We ought to have them. I'm not discounting them. Listen, if you were a godly, born-again Christian, you ought to be the sinner at the game. You ought to be a better student than a sinner. Everything else being equal. If you can sing, you're a Christian. Another man who's not a Christian, he can sing some too. You ought to out-sing him. Christianity doesn't make you dumb. Christianity stimulates you. I was converted not 11 years old. Little country boy. I got a shot in the brain. Yes. I got to walk in the road thinking God's thoughts after him. And went to teach the Sunday school class. Licensed to preach at 13. I didn't know much, but my mind was on fire because I knew God loved me and Jesus died for me and I was saved by divine grace. You know, so many of these church services make me sick. Sunday morning come in, here comes a corpse. Make room for the dead. You ought to walk in the house of God with a pep that you don't have it. Listen. You ought to walk into your classroom saying, I'm on my way to the classroom to develop my mind so I can think clearly. You wouldn't have much sense if you ate something or overate something that gave you indigestion. Some of you do it, but not very smart. You may not have much in your head. But you don't have to have much if you've got plenty in your heart. And the more you have in the head, the less you have in the heart, the more dangerous you are. You know, you can't commit crime. Some Christ, you get some education. You can't be sent to the penitentiary. I've told you so many times you've got to learn to write. If you can't write, sign your name. You'll never go to the penitentiary for forgery. All you got to do is to prove you can't write. But you know what you can do. You may not be able to write, but you can borrow a brain. I've known some fellows that couldn't read and write. They called them ignorant. And they'd say, read the Bible to me. And their hearts were right. Did you know if you were in trouble, it's over here on the left side, about 6 inches below the collarbone. With a heart, man believes in righteousness. Listen, if you've got an academic heart that wants knowledge so you can serve God, you can wake up a little puny, anemic brain set on fire. Your trouble is not head trouble. It's heart trouble. Mother has a little baby in the home. The baby gets sick. She don't know what to give the baby. But she can walk him all night long. Say, yes, darling, mommy's here. Yes, sweetheart. Your mommy's here. She loves you. Mommy, sorry you're sick. Baby don't know what you're saying to her. And she says, oh, you better get the doctor. I don't know what to do for the baby. But I want my baby to get well. And a little thing, I'm afraid. Get the doctor as quick as you can. Her heart's talking all the time, you know. Not her head. It's her heart. Listen. If you will give God your heart completely, unconditionally, absolutely, unreservedly, forevermore, He'll take a heavenly comb and comb some kinks out of your brain. He said, son, give me your heart. He didn't ask you for your head. You know, some of the best men I ever knew, the most reasonable men I ever knew, didn't have much head. They had good heart. Listen, if you don't learn to put your heart into your education, your head will dry up. It's your heart. With a heart, man leads unto righteousness. Yeah, heart. You don't have to have much sense. So I said sometime recently, that ought to be a great comfort to some of you. You can have, get, listen, you can do pretty well on my little brain if your heart's right. I started evangelistic work when I was just a boy. I didn't know much about it. But I asked God to help me. And one of the greatest services I ever had in my life, I had when I was about 18 years old. Conducting revivals. Yeah, I didn't know I, but I knew it then. So I'd go and borrow some brain from some old preacher somewhere. He might not have used as good a grammar as I used that time. I remember one old fellow, he always said, I have seen, I have saw. But he wasn't lying. He had seen with the eyes of his soul. Now listen. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What you need is not more brain in your head, but it's more grace in your heart and a vision. Yeah. You can be all God wants you to be. You want to be more than that? You folks that don't have much sense, you know, you haven't got as hard a time being what God wants you to be as this fellow we got a lot of brain. He's maybe a brainy fool. The worst sinners I've ever found in my life were not fellows with a little brain. Some of them didn't have much sense, but you know, to be a successful sinner, you have to be pretty smart. Yeah. Don't get the idea that the communists are all fools. Don't get the idea that all these underworld characters haven't any sense. Some of these bombs have been converted into these missions. Shooting this coal. Some of these bombs have converted into missions and come out and set the world on fire. Yeah. They're smart. Men like Ernest Reveal, they got plenty of sense. Mel Trotter's one of the smartest men I ever knew. Jerry McCauley had brain. Yeah. Wait a minute. The trouble with the world is heart trouble and not head trouble. Now, if you are not a dedicated Christian, surrendered to God, and you're heady, education will hurt you. If your heart's right, and your head's not very strong, get all you can. Can what you get. Serve the Lord. Some of the most useful men I've ever known in my life were just average people. Yeah, God said it in the Bible. He said he picks up the weak things of the world and confound the mighty. Listen, God won't use you if you can use a good English sentence and don't use it. You're to be diligent in business, fervent in spirit. But you can learn enough grammar to get by pretty well. You don't have to say, I see, or have saw. Any fool could learn better than that. You don't have to come down here to college and pay your money to learn that. You know what you're here for? You're here not just to train your head. Not in this school. You're here at this school to get some conviction on principle. We major in principles in this school. Oh, you'll get as good science here, as good grammar, as good English, as good history, and better Bible, and get in almost any school anywhere in the world. You get the best speech. We have the best speech department and liberal arts school on this continent. Ever has had. Good music department. You can get all those things. They're worthwhile. That's nice. Go on. Sing the best you can. Play the best you can. Think the best you can. But you be dead sure that something in your bosom that's pumping blood through your system is pumping you up towards God. Be sure about it. We are nearly through this school year. You've been to a Bible conference. Maybe God sent you down here to hear this message this morning. I never have, as far as I remember, prayed harder over a message than this message this morning. I asked God to help me. I want you to wake up. Wake up. Listen. What do you say, God? I chose the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. But they can't do it in their sleep. Wake up! God sent his son to die for you. You are supposed to be saved. If you're not, you ought to be. If you've been here this long and haven't found the Lord as your Savior, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But you know, it's one thing to find Jesus, and it's another thing to let him just take you over. Yeah. Listen, you don't give Jesus your heart when you're saved. He gives you a new heart. Then what does he say? He said, Son, give me thy heart. That's addressed to Christians. What's God want with your dirty old heart? Filled up with sin. He wants to give you a heart free from sin. Pure heart. So you see God. Heart that's right. So you can see God in the storms, in the sunlight, in the twilight zone, in the laboratory, in the classroom. When you're on a date, how does God look at this? You've got Christian young people in this country, supposedly Christian young people, go around summer camps where religious people assemble and turn some of those summer camps into necking parties. Think they're respectable. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you go out on a hayride or a party and let some contemptible, fleshly young fella slobber over you, and you call yourself a Christian, you're letting him slobber over the temple of God. Now, wait a minute. If I were you, I'd do one or two things. I'd make up my mind I was going to be all out for God, or I'd quit it. I'm sick and tired. I've been to camps in this country where I preach, where young people assemble. And I saw things go on that wouldn't have gone on in the underworld. In my section of Alabama when I was a boy. Now, young folks, I'm not mad with you. I love you. Oh, as I look out this morning and think about you, there are enough boys and girls in this house to shake this continent for God. You're getting the best training in the world. You're going to be able to use good language, English. You're going to be a teacher, you'll be a good teacher. You're getting the best all-round, best balanced training you can get in any school on this continent. I don't apologize for that statement. I mean what I say, and I'm saying what I mean. My son graduated here. I'd rather my son and my grandchildren would get the education they're getting right here than to have a degree from any great university on this continent, as far as life's concerned. It might be some field which we didn't operate. But you're going to operate in the field you get here. You're going to operate in life. You're going to have a heart to speak, and you're going to keep breathing. Now, I want you to be right. I ask the Lord, give me strength. I haven't been well, boys and girls, but I feel very much better. Didn't talk like I was sick this morning, did I? Coughed a little. But my work's about done. And you know what I'm going to do if I go on to heaven? I'm going to ask the Lord, let me peek through a window, look over the battlements. And I want you to hand down this school to the next generation. And someday when you've got a child to send to school, you say, I know a safe place. Now, let's put in from now to close, how many days? About 18 days? About 4 weeks. From now to the close, let's have the most spiritual, plain time we've ever had. Let's do heart searching. Let's go off of the campus at the end of this year absolutely right with God. Now, don't flit around. Just listen. Let's be what we claim to be. And I want to ask you something this morning. And I don't want any fooling about it. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Now, Jesus, I thank you that you give me strength in spite of this cough talk. Cleared up my mind. You know how sick I've been. You know better than anybody else. Nobody knows as well as you know, but you've taken care of me. And Lord, this one service could mean so much for all time and eternity in somebody's life. Help them to be right. Keep them faithful. Jesus' sake. Keep your head bowed. I want to know how many of you can say, Bob Jones, if I know my heart, I'm right with God. I don't know anything between me and the Lord, and I'm holding on to Him. I've trusted Jesus my Savior. I've surrendered to Him. And I don't know anything in my heart right now. Now, be honest, boys and girls. Be honest. I don't know anything in my life right now that I... between me and the Lord. As far as I know, everything's all right. Can you say that honestly? If you can't, hold your hand up. Don't look around now. Keep your head bowed and eyes closed. Don't anybody look around now. Keep your head bowed and eyes closed. Now, you with your hand up, quietly stand, but don't open your eyes. Keep your eyes closed. Don't stand unless your hand is up. Now, is anybody seated anywhere in this building? Is anybody seated can say, well, I couldn't say that. But God helping me right now, I'm going to surrender my life to Him. I'll just trust Him as my Savior, and I'll dedicate my life to Him. Today, right here. Anybody that's seated standing up, I stand up. I can't see you. See, that one I think I saw. Go to anybody else, stand up if you mean anybody anywhere in the building. That's right. God bless those men. Boys, God bless your girl. Stand up. Let's come clean with Him today. Let this be a memorable day. A memorable day. Now, I'm hoping the Lord will give me strength to give you one or two more messages. I've had long years of experience in evangelistic work, and if I can. And I want you boys and girls to go off this campus at the end of this school year, and it's right on us, boys. I want you to go off with the cleanest record any student's ever had. And I hope every last one of you that ought to come back next year will come. Some of you are finishing. Won't need to come back. Some of you do. Don't let the devil turn you aside. You just got started on the right road. If you haven't made your plans to come back, so let them tell them to hold the reservation, because the way applications coming in, it looks like going to be overflowing. Now, blessed Jesus, I thank you for this school. I remember us driving along that road when you laid it on my heart. I said, all right, Jesus, we did it. Here it is. Thank you for these boys and girls. We believe, Jesus, they're the best body of students we've ever had. Now, we don't know. We don't know them very well, but somehow we have a feeling that we have the finest, cleanest, best students as a whole we've ever had. We believe they're sincere. We believe they want to do right. And, oh, Lord, we pray to pour out thy Spirit upon them. We're living in such a dark day. When they go off this campus and go back into the atmosphere, some of them are going to just go out in the cold winds, the cold atmosphere. And they've been here where there's been a warmth. Lord God, help us to build up an immunity. And maybe go off of this campus when the school year closes now just shortly, Lord, to win souls to Jesus Christ this summer. God help us. Keep your head bowed just a minute. How many of you folks will say, Dr. Ball, God helping me, I'm going to try to be a soul winner this summer when I go home. I know some folks back there I want to see saved. And I'm going back to try to be a soul winner. Put your hand up. Come on, God bless you. Now, any of you folks that haven't made up your mind to come back here, not sure, I advise you to sign up right away. Applications are pouring in. And when you go home, you'll have to work mighty fast there if you're going to make room for them. But maybe we take a few from each community when you go home. Now, blessed Jesus, we thank thee for these boys and girls. We love them. We may be wrong, Jesus, but we think as a whole they're the finest, sweetest boys and girls we ever had. They've had a response. Somehow we feel it in the atmosphere. We thank thee for the faithfulness of the faculty. And thank thee for the Spirit on the campus. Lord, thank you for giving me strength. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to speak to them this way, but you've helped me. And maybe I can do another one before I go home. And I want to help them with my long years of experience of evangelistic work. I want to help them all I can. We pray to bless us and keep this school close to thee and use us for thy glory. Lead us by thy Spirit along the line of thy purpose. For Jesus' sake, amen.